Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Talk about sister-sister or odd couple storytelling. In Peacock's new fantasy tune, Supernatural Academy, sisters from opposite ends of the universe reunite to save a world or two without driving each other insane. A twosome brewing this animated adventure, developer-writer Gillian Horvat and executive producer Alan Bobach join me next. Also ahead, a comeback for some iconic CBS News series, a new series triple header play, our classic trivia question, and bad post-K-mopics on CBS last night. Very bad. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal, and Reason. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Happy you're aboard on this Monday afternoon for the program all about TV's current and future. 33 degrees at the top of the hour in New York. Wonderful guests coming your way over the course of the next 60 minutes. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Just pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And we've got a chat room in business for you. It's Simon Apple 04 by name, and you can find that chat room at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions of people live with you. Our twosome from Supernatural Academy on Peacock join us from Los Angeles and New York, respectively, after these news notes. A few of the iconic CBS News series from the 1950s and 1960s, such as Person to Person and CBS Reports, will make a primetime comeback through smart TV sets and devices. The vehicle is what was CBSN and this morning became CBS News Streaming Network. CBS Evening News anchor person Norah O'Donnell will handle the person-to-person role held by Edward R. Murrow and Charles Collingwood. Weekly CBS Reports episodes will begin February 25th with Trayvon Martin, 10 years later, anchored by Gail King. Other CBS News Streaming Network primetime activities will be Eye on America, The Uplift, The Dish, based on the CBS Saturday morning feature, and On the Road with Steve Hartman. A triple header of new series developments this afternoon, Hulu will go forward with Saint X, a missing girl drama told through multiple timelines and perspectives. New Netflix entry Survival of the Thickest will deal with the tribulations of a plus-size woman on the Rebuild Your Life highway, played by stand-up comic author and Netflix unscripted host Michelle Buteau. Rounding out this threesome is The Ark, a saga of planetary colonization for sci-fi. Stargate SG-1 producer Jonathan Glasner and Leverage and Independence Day producer Dean Devlin, who's been on this program before, will write and oversee the series. One quickie before we get to our guest, Julian McMahon will depart FBI Most Wanted after three seasons. His final episode of Special Agent Jess LaCroix runs March 8th on CBS. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live from Los Angeles and New York, respectively, the developer and head writer and the executive producer for the new Peacock series that premiered last Thursday, Supernatural Academy, Gillian Horvat and Alan Bobach. Gillian, Alan, welcome in.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And while we wait for Gillian, Alan, I will start with you. What had this project come both of your way?
I'm sorry, say that again?
How did this project, Supernatural Academy, which is based on a series of best-selling books, how did it come both of your way?
Well, you know, we the world of animation is changing rapidly, right? I mean, for a long time, animation was just for kids. But then a lot of shows came on the air with some of the raunchy comedies like Rick and Morty or Beavis and Butthead. And then, of course, some more upscale animation like some shows on Netflix like The Dragon Prince or Trollhunters. So we started looking more at animation that doesn't appeal just to kids, but also to older kids, teenagers, even young adults. And when we did that, we started looking at all kinds of books that were out there that were popular with young adults. And if you go on, literally, if you go on Kindle, you'll see them all ranked. And you'll see them in the paranormal space, in the fantasy space, in the sci-fi space. So we thought, thought that would be a really good thing, and we locked in on this particular one that was in the top 10, the three of them, as a matter of fact. It was a sequel to Supernatural Prison, and we just thought that this writer had it right. The books were top ranked, so it had a following. We developed it as an animated series and pitched it, and Peacock came along and thought it was a really good idea. So it kind of came along that way. I was looking to expand animation as an art form away from kids' animation and into a more broader space.
And Alan makes a really good point. Can you guys hear me? I'm on the line.
Yes, you're on right now. We apologize for a little bit of tech glitch there, but welcome aboard. Go ahead.
Excellent. Great. And I wanted to expand on one point that Alan mentioned, which is that Jamin Eve, the author of the books, has built a whole world around the Supernatural Enclave. There's 10 books at this point in the series, the Supernatural Academy books, Supernatural Prison books, and books that focus on various characters from the different stories. The Dragonmark storyline, which is from the very first book in her whole set of 10, is the one that we were really drawn to, this story of two sisters living in different worlds who find each other. And even though they're twins, they were raised so differently that they're like polar opposites. And then they learn that their differences become their strength. And that was a story arc that we were really drawn to from this rich world that Jamin had built. We focused in on that particular storyline.
And Gillian's staying with you. What kind of charms does the books have that lend itself to the kind of animation treatment you're doing or writing?
Well, I think largely this supernatural world that Jamin built, that in her stories, it's been 1,000 years since the supernatural's own world of fairy was destroyed by the Dragon War, and the supernatural creatures came as refugees, basically, into the human world, and they've been in hiding that whole time. And so the chance to tell that kind of grounded supernatural story, I mean, that's my background. I come from shows like Sanctuary and Highlander, where it's a magical premise, but it's set in our world that we live in. And I think that's a real strength of the story. And, of course, when Alan contacted me about coming on board, part of the appeal of it is that when you're working in animation, you can have these characters who are dragons and wolves and vampires and not be limited in how you can use them. When you're working in live action, if you have a dragon character, you might only be able to see them for 2 shots every week because that's all that's in the budget. But when you're working in animation, they can be a dragon. They can turn into a wolf as the story demands, as opposed to being limited by those budget constraints that you have in live action. So I think it was a really strong choice for those reasons to move into Alan's idea of this new space of animated stories that are not for little kids.
Mm-hmm. Alan, you and your organization have been involved in producing animated programming, syndicating animated programming for a long, long time. How do you determine the animation style that you will use for a project like this? I mean, you have all sorts of ways to go. You can go traditional cel animation. You can go anime. You can go computer animation, Flash, et cetera. How do you, with Supernatural Academy, how do you determine this is the animation style we're going to go with?
Well, I mean, to your point, you know, our first show ever was to launch Sonic the Hedgehog in the United States, and that was obviously a long time ago. And that's more traditional animation, right? That was all speed, and that was all fast, and it was all kids. Today, we don't do cel animation anymore. Today, we as a house don't do 2D animation. We only do CG. We only do computer graphic animation. So that's the first thing. So we knew that, but what we also wanted was to find a way to make it a bit more realistic, less cartoony. So the variety of software that you can use, we knew that was our vision. There's something called Toon Shaded. It's called Toon Shaded Animation, where you can actually run the software over the animation. And it gives it a more realistic feel while still being animation. And we thought that that would work better here, so that the not only the dragons and the wolves and all of the various shape-shifting could be more realistic, but also their faces could be more realistic as well. We also knew we weren't looking for a 6-year-old, so that allowed us to do that. So this is toon-shaded computer graphic animation, all in 3D. Obviously more expensive, obviously more time-consuming, but for this audience, you really you really didn't have much of a choice. You really had to go this way versus traditional animation, which today means CG kids animation. Easier to do, faster to do, but it wouldn't have worked as well for this demographic.
We're talking about Peacock's new animated tune with a lot of fantasy and some very interesting quirks with the characters, too. It's called Supernatural Academy. It premiered last week on that service, which is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place. And in some cases, Peacock appears also on your local cable system, especially those run by the parent of NBC Universal and Peacock, Comcast. We're speaking with the developer and lead writer for the series, Gillian Horvath, and the executive producer of the program, Alan Bobot. They both join us live from Los Angeles and New York, respectively, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And we're happy you're along for the ride, too. Simon Abbott with you live from New York, 33 degrees at the top of the hour. Still a very, very cool time here in the Big Apple this January 24th of 2022. And we invite you to be part of the program. So simple. Pick up the phone, call in, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we're going to check in with the growing next-gen TV movement. Local broadcast stations in more than 50 cities around the country now have next-gen TV deployed. What are they doing with it? When will other cities like New York come on board? And ultimately, what is the possibilities of next-gen television? One of the leading advocates of the field from Pearl TV, Managing Director Ann Schell, will be with us as our lead guest. And in case you haven't heard, Future Today, one of the popular multi-channel bundles dealing with family programming, well, they last week decided to take Brat TV, a very popular YouTube attraction, and make it a full-time 24/7 channel. How's that coming along? We'll speak with the Future TV executive that made the deal, Senior Vice President David DiLorenzo. It's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Gillian, one of the things about Supernatural Academy that's interesting, I saw it from the trailer, is that you have these two sisters, and it's sort of like Felix and Oscar from The Odd Couple. One is sort of raised in the superhuman world. One is raised in the human world. And then they come together at this academy, and goodness knows what they'll do to save the world.
But thank you for bringing that up. And while giving full credit for Jaimin, who wrote the books, for building this world and creating these two sisters, in the original Dragon Mark book, the focus is really on Jessa, the supernatural sister who lives in the supernatural world and whose life is disrupted by her sister arriving. And one of the first decisions we made in the adaptation as we looked at how the story would work best for television is that we made the two sisters co-equal leads of the storyline, and we follow each sister in her own world before they meet each other. We meet Nisha in New York City, where she's living with her mother. They've been on the run her whole life, never lived anywhere very long, and we get to meet her in her life before she finds out about her supernatural background, which is something that wasn't in the original books. But to me, I was really drawn to Nisha as a character. I feel she represents us, the viewer, more closely, the idea that, you know, teenage girls, but I think it's teenage people in general are figuring out their place in the world. They may feel like misfits who don't fit in and feel like their tribe, the others that they would get along with best, they're having trouble finding that. And so Nisha represents that, and it's because the secret of who she really is has been kept from her her whole life, and she struggled to find people she gets along with well. She has one friend in New York who is a wonderful nerd who loves fantasy and science fiction, and the two of them hit it off. But when Nisha comes into the supernatural world and the two sisters meet for the first time, and this is why this first episode is called Parallel Lives, is because it's bringing them together. And that's when Nisha, even though she's in over her head and doesn't really know this supernatural world, it becomes the place she realizes she's belonged the whole time. And I think that's a great storyline for, honestly, viewership of all ages, whether you're 11, 15, or 35, you might be having these feelings of, where are the people who understand me? Where do I belong? And we follow Misha's story that way into the supernatural world.
Mm-hmm. Alan, one of the things I noticed is that you have a lot of voices on the series in the key roles, many of whom, I guess, have not done animated television. For example, Larissa Diaz, who plays one of the sisters, Jessie, her credits include being on Supernatural, being on Falling Skies, being on When Calls the Heart on Hallmark Channel. How did you cast the series? And with people, let's say, like Larissa, who may not have done animated voice work before, was there sort of a learning curve with them to try to not only get into character, but also get into the rhythm of voices that you need to make an animated series work?
No, not at all, because that was actually the intent. We weren't looking for actors who had done this. Matter of fact, if you look at the entire writers team that Gilliam brought on, very few of them had done animation before. And if they had, they had moved on to do lots of other stuff. So we really wanted, I don't want to say prime time, because that's an old-fashioned term, but we really wanted adult writers to kind of write the story, not kids writers, and we also wanted adult actors to play. And if you notice in the cast, everyone that plays a part lives that part in their real life. And that was also a contingent thing for us. The one character that's a lesbian, she is a lesbian in real life. You know, the same thing with Jay. So we really try to get people to be as authentic as they could possibly be. We didn't treat this as a kid's animation. The animation is the art form. It's not the story. It's not the show, what the show's about. And if you look at the actors, they were all cast based on their individual ability, and they all had done shows like Supernatural and others. And that was something we looked for. If they had done Nickelodeon-type shows before, that wouldn't have probably made the cut for us. So it was by intent and by design.
What did the actors think about that, Alan? The ability to sort of, in a way, be themselves and bring themselves, whatever their background was, into the characters?
I mean, I think that's something that they're not used to. You know, they tend to do, some of them do kids shows, and they tend to alter their voices to fit the character, and they tend to be slapstick and funny, and they tend to raise their voices really high. Here, they could just be themselves. I mean, here, you know, they could do what they were. I mean, every character, whatever their skin color on the screen, that's their skin color in real life. Whatever their sexual preferences in the screen, that's their sexual preference in real life. So they can be themselves, and yet obviously the director was able to bring out, I hope, the best performance out of each of them. But Larissa's a great example. I thought she nailed Dressa, and she was proud to do it, and she had never done an animated show before.
Yeah. Gillian, way back when, in the early 1970s, when Star Trek was an animated series for two seasons on NBC, Gene Roddenberry, the executive producer, insisted that the people that wrote for his series, the original NBC series, like D.C. Fontana and Margaret Armin and David Herold and so forth, wrote for the animated series, which was a breakthrough, by the way, in terms of people from a primetime television series writing for a children's animated show. And I'm raising this because when you mentioned earlier that you had worked on shows like Sanctuary, which, by the way, was a terrific groundbreaking show for sci-fi. Manus Happing did that show first in screen. I'm curious, what's it like to bring in a writer's room where writers have not done animation before, but they've done maybe shows in the fantasy science fiction genre? What was it like for them to sort of write this, as well as you, to write for a program like this?
Well, Alan really encouraged us to bring our hour-long science fiction live-action sensibility to the writing process. And that's my background. It's the reason I think that Alan called me in the first place. I mean, we have mutual contacts who recommended me, and he was looking for someone whose experience was in teen and adult science fiction as opposed to someone whose experience was in animation. So I think we, in the writer's room and in the writing of the scripts, we wrote them agnostic to the way they were going to be produced in terms of the storyline. In terms of breaking the beats, we wanted this to be on par with an MCU show or a CW show, that the way that it would be produced didn't determine how we wrote it, with the exception of I got a wonderful crash course in the things that are different in animation versus live action in terms of what's simple to do and what's incredibly difficult to do. I mentioned before that we had the option of having our characters appear in their wolf and vampire form as needed, and that was a wonderful freedom. But on the flip side, in live action, people can change their clothes, and it barely is a problem. Someone can just grab a jacket and pull it on their way out the door. You can write that in the script, and they do it on the stage, and it is no issue. Whereas in animation, it is a lot more complicated to do what seems to a live action writer like a simple motion. And so that was absolutely fascinating. I actually enjoyed the puzzle of learning more about which things that we take for granted in live action can be difficult to do in animation, and how do you cleverly write around it so that no one in the audience is going to have their attention drawn to, like, oh, hey, how come, you know, how come she didn't change her clothes? It's not, we don't want it to be a story point, but it was, we had, we were fortunate to have on the writing staff Karen Lee Brown, who I know has worked for Alan on many of his other shows in the past, and she had that knowledge to bring to us daily as we worked in the writer's room. She could warn us if we were getting into territory of, like, this is something that's difficult to do in animation on the technical side, but on the story side, we wanted to use our the experience we had in writing live-action stories.
Mm-hmm. Gillian Horvath and Alan Bobot are our guests this half hour. They are both involved with the new Peacock animated fantasy series Supernatural Academy that premiered last week. Gillian is live from Los Angeles. She is the developer and head writer, and Alan is the executive producer. He joins me here in the Big Apple, and they're both with us this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Good, you're with us, too. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment, there are many minutes with both of our guests. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Big two-hour audition coming your way a week from today to wrap up January, and we have the second hour already set to go. On January 31st, A&E Network is presenting what may be one of the most disturbing original series, unscripted series, they've done in a long time. It's called Adults Adopting Adults. If you've never heard of the subject of adult adoption, you are in for a very rude and very disturbing awakening. We'll talk to the executive producer of this very important series, Danny Passman. Also, two women are behind a brand-new series coming up on Sci-Fi called Astrid and Lily Save the World. It's the new series from Sci-Fi, and it'll be coming on along with the second season premiere of Resident Alien, one of the sleeper shows of last year, whose executive producer, Chris Sheridan, was on our program about a year ago. You'll meet the two women behind it, executive producers and writers, Noelle Stemmen and Betsy Von Stone. They're both coming up along with the rest of our crew. That's next Monday from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern. That's also noon to 2 p.m. on the Pacific time zone, right here a week from today on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Alan, what kind of adventures can we look forward to as this series unfolds in the coming weeks?
Well, I think, I like everybody else, right, you like to finish the story. If you look, like every show, if you look at the ending of this season one, you'll see that there's a cliffhanger, one that hopefully will surprise the audience and make them think. So we've already got season two that we'd like to begin to do. So hoping the popularity of the show warrants us to immediately go into season two. And then I think the sequel to this thing that can branch out, even make this a franchise more than just a single show, is just to take on Supernatural Prison, which is Jamin Eames' series of books, which are technically a little bit older in nature, so we can age it up a little bit even further. So I think our goal would be to build a world around what we've started last Thursday.
Gillian, what role did Jamin Eames, the creator of the books, did she have any role to play in the making of the series? Did you and your writers consult with her in terms of story development, character development?
She and I had some conversations at the beginning of our working time. She did not come into the writer's room. She would have been welcome there, but she has her books to write. She's not a television writer, so she didn't want to join us on a full-time basis. But we had some really productive conversations because we did make some changes to some of the character relationships. We did tell a different version of the story set in the world that she created, and we wanted to make sure that she was comfortable and happy with the version that we were doing, and we had nothing but positive response to her, from her. I mean, she's been very supportive the entire time, and I look forward to doing more work with her in the future, I hope.
You know, Simon,
if I could just
jump in for a sec here, but since we went live on Thursday and over the weekend and today, as a matter of fact, I got three emails from other authors that write these kinds of books, whether it be in sci-fi or paranormal or fantasy, who have all said they've enjoyed it, and then if we want to take on an animated version of their book line, they'd love to talk about it. So I'm hoping that that's the case, because I'm hoping that this could be the beginning of a – if you think about it, if you go on Kindle, you'll see, like, this, you know, the top 10, top 20 books are really popular. I mean, a lot of people are reading these books. So if we can use that as a source for adaptation and take on a couple more writers that have written top 10 books – I mean, that could create a whole world of entertainment where you could go into different directions, not just in that one direction of Supernatural Academy, but in the same world, in the same genre. So I think, you know, no one's done that. We live in an industry where everybody wants to do something new, something different, something never been done before. I don't think anybody's done this in animation with this type of writing level and animation quality. And who knows? You know, this might be bigger than just the original idea, I hope.
Yeah, you're involved with 41 Entertainment, which is the production company behind this. Are there any other animated or live-action projects that we can look forward to from 41?
We've done a number of shows that are on Netflix, like Super Monsters or King Kong. But the next one you'll see from us will be later this spring on HBO Max, and it's a show called Smash. One word, Smash. It's more of a traditional animated upper preschool show where kids go to camp for the summer to learn how to become famous superheroes like their parents. Their parents are Rocket Man, their parents are Silver Streak, and they want to become like their parents, so they go there to learn. So it's a fun superhero show based on a summer camp, and it'll launch on HBO Max later this spring.
Mm-hmm. Gillian, if you had your druthers, what kind of animated show would you like to do? Alan just mentioned, for example, Paranormal as a possibility. Based on email conversations from authors who've responded to this series. And it just hit that we haven't really had an animated series about psychic phenomena or the paranormal, similar, let's say, to live-action shows like The Sixth Sense or One Step Beyond. What do you think about that, the idea of, let's say, maybe a paranormal or psychic phenomena-oriented tune?
I think there's no reason that genre can't exist, because I think Alan made a really good point when he said that animation is the art form. Animation is a medium, just like television is or like radio is, that you can do stories of any sort in the medium of animation. And if you handed me a paranormal series to adapt tomorrow, I think I would want to take advantage of the opportunity of different art styles so that if you were switching between planes of existence, they would have a very different look and feel to them that would be a strength of choosing to do that in the animated medium as opposed to doing it live action. They could take advantage of the production that you've chosen and give your show a look that no other show had ever had. I think the potential to do any sort of property, any sort of storyline that you can come up with, I think can be done in animation if you choose to do it that way.
Supernatural Academy, you can find it now on Peacock, available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. In some markets, also available on your local cable system. And for more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.peacocktv.com. That's www.peacocktv, that's one phrase, .com. Remember, Peacock is your home for coverage of the Beijing Winter Olympic Games that start a week from Wednesday on Peacock. They'll be doing all live coverage. Every event will be live. They'll also be available on replay. You can mix and match the kind of coverage you want by athlete, by sport, by country, et cetera, et cetera. And it all begins next week on Peacock. Once again, for all the details, www.peacocktv.com. Gillian Horvath, Alan Bobot, thank you both so much for coming on the program. Congratulations on how your show is starting. Hopefully, beginning of a long, long run with this. And we'd love to have you both back when your next project comes up. It's been a pleasure to have you both.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Simon. Bye-bye.
You're very welcome. Take care. Gillian Horvath, Alan Bobot, joining us live from Los Angeles and New York, respectively. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week, and then I'll offer some comments about a post-game situation last night on CBS that wasn't one of the great ones. We'll tell you why and my thoughts about it. That'll all come up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tunein.com. Together, reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you're into very unique music, Check out Music on the Couch, one of BTR's longest-running shows, and it happens tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, Music on the Couch, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Monday, the 24th of January, 2022. Simon Baffelbaum with you back here live in New York. 33 degrees at the top of the hour. And by the way, any questions or comments about my upcoming comment about what CBS did not do with their post-game show last night with the NFL Visual Playoffs, give us a call. We'd like to hear what you think. 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'll have that and our classic trivia question of the week, but first the words of the fine folks at our sponsor, Audible.com. Do you want to have a more empowering life for yourself and for others? Well, how about checking out this audiobook that's available to you with a one-month trial with Audible.com. It's Robert Greene's 48 Laws of Power. He takes laws that have been put together by some of the great thinkers of all time, our time too, and he puts it into an audiobook that's easy to listen to and easy to understand and easy to be empowered by. 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. It can be yours with a one-month trial to Audible.com. If you haven't heard, Audible.com is by far the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 250,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, and all of our podcast lineup. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, a one-month trial of Audible service, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, the one and only, and you also get health and wellness information, very important for you or others you know, while it lasts. And if you're an Amazon Prime member already, you get two audiobooks for your trial of one, and one of those books could come from the fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking about original audio series, podcast programming, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances. So, if you are into audio, how about trying Audible.com and finding out how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? It's a great gift for you or someone you love any time of the year. And for all details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. We still have five prizes in play. The question we introduced last week, we're going to continue it this week. And let's see if we can get a winner finally, our first trivia winner of 2022. Remember, if you are the winner, you get the first answer in correctly. You will win five prizes. You'll win a Loud House crayon set from Nickelodeon. You'll hear a Freak Brothers t-shirt from the fine folks at Tubi, the multi-channel bundle that runs the Freak Brothers animated series. You'll get two big books, Betty White, 100 Remarkable Moments in Extraordinary Life. By the way, the NBC special tribute to her is a week from tonight in prime time, as well as the unofficial Hocus Pocus cookbook, which is based on the famous Bette Midler movie. Bette Midler is already working on a sequel to Hocus Pocus that will run this fall on Disney+. And from the recent special on PBS and BYU television, 20 Years of Christmas with the Tabernacle Choir, the exclusive DVD with bonus material. And that all could be yours if you know the answer to this question. Name the Cartoon Network TBS animated series co-created by Cartoon Network and TBS founder Ted Turner. Name the Cartoon Network TBS animated series co-created by the founder of TBS and Cartoon Network, Ted Turner. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, where we have over 2,700 followers, and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Incidentally, we post often late-breaking TV developments at that Twitter handle, where we have now more than 770 followers. So find the question there if we don't get a winner by the end of today. And remember, as we say around here a lot, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so. Get those thinking caps on. Let's give that question one more time. Name the Cartoon Network TBS series, animated series, co-created by the founder of TBS and Cartoon Network, the one and only Ted Turner. And again, it's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Get in there and win today. And all the very best. And now a comment. unless you've had your head in the sand for a good chunk of this weekend, you know that this was one whale of a set of NFL, National Football League, divisional playoff games. Three games were determined by field goals in the last minute, and one whale of a game was determined in overtime. And I'm talking about the game last night with the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. What a ball game. Think about this. 25 points scored between the two teams in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. Incredible performances by both quarterbacks, Josh Allen for the Buffalo Bills, Patrick Mahomes for the Kansas City Chiefs. Their wide receivers, their leading wide receivers, were magnificent also throughout the game. And it was a game for the ages. And, of course, you know that it was that great catch from Patrick Mahomes by Travis Kelce that won the game in overtime with 10 minutes to go in an overtime period. It was also beautifully captured by CBS, starting with great play-by-play by Jim Nance, great commentary by Tony Romo, wonderful camera work, including great replays of the big moments in the game, both on offense and defense. It was the kind of a game that deserved, with not only that, but also the game before, great almost come-from-the-hat game by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady versus the Los Angeles Rams and Matthew Stafford. Again, a game that was decided by a field goal, 30-27, when the game was over. Unbelievable game. It was the kind of a day, and certainly a kind of game like Buffalo, Kansas City, that deserved a major post-game show. That didn't happen on CBS last night. That's where CBS dropped the ball. Instead of a 15 or 20-minute post-game show where you've got full coverage of the game and its aftermath, interviews with the major players and coaches from both sides, major replays, as well as highlights of the game before, Los Angeles, Tampa Bay, not to mention what's going to be happening next Sunday with the conference championships with the NFC and the AFC. Didn't happen. What happened? Well, the NFL today went into, you might say, a two-minute drill for the post-game show sponsored by Strait Farm, where you had everybody, host James Brown, Phil Sims, Bill Cowher, Nate Burleson, and Boomer Esiason basically gave like 30 seconds their comment on the game, then a three-minute national and commercial local break as well, and then they just tossed it off to NCIS Miami. In yours truly opinion, that was an absolutely, blatantly atrocious move by CBS. That pregame show, that postgame show, should have run at least 15 minutes. And certainly, given the fact that the postgame show started around 10 o'clock, 10:05 Eastern time, they could have had NCIS Miami start at 10:20, maybe even 10:30, and end 11:30. You know, and the local news would have been on 11:30, at least on the East Coast. What really bothers me was this. Given the way the game went, given the way the whole weekend went, wouldn't CBS management have been like, hey, folks, NFL Today, post-game show people, take 10, 15 minutes. Don't worry. You won't have to speed it up. Just take 15, 20 minutes. Do the best post-game show you can. We've got something here. We got a moment here. Let's keep it. And that's what CBS, that's the attitude that CBS management should have taken on the game. And no, they didn't. They decided two-minute drill, local commercial break, boom, send it off to NCIS Miami without much. Is that really how you should develop and how you should do a moment like that? Didn't this game, didn't this weekend deserve better than what CBS did? And again, I'm not blaming CBS Sports for this. This is CBS management. CBS management should have been on the horn when this game went to overtime. This should have gone on the horn with CBS Sports management, with John McManus and Harold Bryant saying, look, take as much time as you have for a postgame show. We know this is something very special. We know this whole weekend was very unique. There may not be another weekend like this again in National Football League history. And what we just had was one of the best games maybe ever played. You know, you don't get a game with 25 points scored in the last 2 minutes, back and forth, back and forth. Two great quarterbacks at their very best, young as they are in Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, with two great wide receiver performances also, and very interesting defense and offensive plays. Take the time. Why are you giving this to ESPN or somebody else when they can do an expanded sports center? You know, it's your show. It's your game. Make it, give it justice. Give the whole weekend justice. They didn't. Really bad optics by CBS. And again, this is not a CBS Sports issue. This is a CBS management issue that should have been resolved, that should have given CBS Sports 15 minutes at least for a postgame show, for a decent postgame show where a lot of different angles of that game and this weekend could have been covered. Again, it's really a shame because CBS did a fantastic job with that Buffalo-Kansas City game last night. You couldn't have asked for better. And by the way, that goes to all the announcing teams and camera teams that covered all four games. They did a marvelous job, whether it was NBC, CBS, or Fox. Not one bad game in the bunch. You couldn't ask for better. When you have every single game, three of the four games come down to field goals in the last minute, the last game going down to overtime, what can you say? It was one of the great, great weekends of National Football League history, and it's really, really a shame that CBS blew it with a very short postgame show. I'd like to hear what you have to say. We'll give you a few minutes to give us your thoughts. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. That's 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And before we tell you about our guests coming up Friday and next Monday, I also want to say thank you to everybody who marked my birthday in all sorts of ways. It was wonderful to get a marvelous deluge of Facebook thoughts, Twitter thoughts, emails. My family came through. Mom and Dad, love you always. Thank you for the great greetings. Brother Gary, Sister Stephanie, the Alumni Association of American University, friends of mine from the TV industry, colleagues, former colleagues editorially, people from Landmark Worldwide that I've been involved with for years and decades, as well as just plain people who love our show, as well as the folks at Langone Health in New York and Willoughby Dental here in Brooklyn. Wonderful organizations that do a great job with people, whatever their medical and dental issues are, and especially in the last couple of years with the pandemic. So to everybody that emailed and Facebooked and Twittered, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. It's a joy to hear from you, and it's great to turn 67 with all of your thoughts. And for those of you I haven't Facebooked back yet, I will. I promise. I do it every year, and I will do it again this year. So stay tuned. We will make it happen. And also thank you to the wonderful people at Big Apple Ballroom on Saturday. We had a wonderful time with the first Saturday afternoon ballroom social here in New York City. Great crowd. Had a B-dance to Two Hearts. Great swing tune by Phil Collins. It was a blast. So Zachary Bordeaux, who is the wonderful teacher that put together this Saturday afternoon event last year in the face of the pandemic, is back, hopefully back to stay. Thank you to Big Apple Ballroom, headed by Michael Che. Great facility, great fun, great studio, and just plain great. And if you're in the New York area, come on by Big Apple Ballroom next Saturday afternoon from 4:30 to 6:30. I promise you, you'll have a wonderful, wonderful time. So thank you all, and it's great to celebrate a birthday with all of you. So you make it special, okay? Okay. So again, I want to thank both of our guests for being here, Gillian Horvath and Alan Bobot from the new Peacock series, Supernatural Academy. And again, if you want more details about the show, which is now running on Peacock, it's www.peacocktv.com. It's www.peacocktv.com. And remember, Peacock next week brings you coverage of the Olympic Winter Games from Beijing, China, every event live, including the opening and closing ceremonies. Also, every replay available. Plus, you can get the coverage of it, arranged by sport, arranged by athlete, arranged by nation. Plus, original programming as well, including a multi-hour program every morning, as well as special documentaries and special reports as well. And that's all available at www.peacocktv.com. Peacock available on most smart TV sets and smart devices, and in some markets available on your local cable system, including the cable systems owned by the parent of Peacock and NBC Universal, Comcast Cable. So do check it out. All righty. So thanks to again Gillian and Alan for joining us on the program today. Remember, coming your way Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll kick it off with the managing director of the advocacy organization behind Next Gen Television, Ann Schell from Pearl TV. Also joining us, the senior vice president of multi-channel bundle Future Today, which last week turned popular YouTube attraction Brat TV into its own 24/7 ad-supported service, David DiLorenzo. And next Monday, we're going to wrap up January in fine fashion with a two-hour show, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern. That's noon to 2 p.m. Pacific time. Joining us in the final hour will be, from the new A&E Network series, Adults Adopting Adults, executive producer Danny Passman. And from the new sci-fi series, Astrid and Lily Save the World, executive producers and writers Noelle Stillman and Betsy Van Stone. If you came in late on today's program and you want to catch up an episode you missed, go to our homepage. It's available to you any time of the day or night. blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, we are available 24/7 on various podcast sites, including iHeartRadio's Podcast Network, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Verbal, and Reason. If there's a podcast site, by the way, that doesn't make our program and you'd like it to, let them know very nicely. Be civil about it. Let us know, and we'll talk with them and make it happen. That's how we got Apple and Amazon and Verbal and Reason last year. And hopefully on Friday, I may have details about having a website as well. So stay tuned for those details, hopefully, on Friday's episode. And remember, we are also available to hear what you have to say. What's your thoughts about our guest today in Supernatural Academy? What's your thoughts about Peacock? And also your thoughts about, I'd love to hear what you think about the whole situation with Olympics coverage on NBC, the various NBC networks, and Peacock, and whether or not, for example, there should be Olympics on television this year, given it's originating in China, which has a lot to answer for with the coronavirus pandemic, human rights, so on and so forth. So I'd love to hear from you. You can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And, of course, you can email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, you can use that email to get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. And you can also get involved in our regular feature, A Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention? We'd like to give it attention. Can't if we don't hear from you. And when we do, you get the credit for it. By the way, our Show to Know last week was Jason Kam's critically acclaimed new dramedy, As We See It on Amazon. We are still trying to get Jason and one of the co-stars of this very groundbreaking dramedy series. He has gotten sensational reviews on Rotten Tomatoes and all over the place. We hope to try to get Jason on. We'll keep you posted if we can. We are making one last effort to do it. But you can hear about As We See It on our episode from this past Friday. So go ahead and check it out at, again, blogtalkradio.com/televised. But anyway, you have a show that you think we ought to know about and we want to highlight on the program, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if we use suggestion on the air, you, of course, get the credit. You can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And however you communicate with us, we communicate back with you. Why? So simple. What you say matters. Now, more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Antito's BTR General Manager, Jay Sonnenberg, is head of content. Website services are provided by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. For details, go to onpodium.com. Guitars Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow we televised brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two and much more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love any time of the year. But tomorrow we televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening, and thank you for all the birthday greetings on social media and elsewhere. Deeply appreciate it. Mwah. Deeply love you. And again, thank you, Mom and Dad. Love you always and forever. We'll be back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and all of our podcast affiliates. Whatever you're up to now and then, please make it safe. Make it great. If you have a birthday along the way, happy birthday. And if you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor. Check your medical situation. Learn about all the options that are available to you or will be available to you down the road. And then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time. Stay well and stay tuned.